to be ready.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, what a great song to introduce us to, praise team and band. I can't wait till we all sing it together. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I've got to be fair and honest here and be very frank. I was already singing it. So just so you guys know, if you're looking for the pastor to be quiet up here, I'm not that guy. Children's Ministry, if you need to be excused today, you are excused at this time. If the Children's Ministry is staying in sanctuary, you can stay. But please take the Word of God and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And for all of these people that emptied out in the front center here, if somebody new comes in, point him down to the front. All over the sanctuary, if you have your Bibles, whether in printed or digital format, would you please hold it up over your head? The Word of God all over the sanctuary. Amen. We start a new series today in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Today's message from our new series called Encounters with Christ. Today's message is Called by God. We are all called by God. Did you know that? Amen. And so we begin this series in the Gospel of Mark. As you look at the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew and Mark are a narrative. They declare certain things. Matthew declares King Jesus from the Hebrew, the Jewish perspective. The book of Luke, Dr. Luke was a historian. He wrote the facts. Just the facts, if you please. The Gospel of John is all about the deity and the glory of Christ. But the Gospel of Mark is like an action-packed motion picture. As you read through the Gospel of Mark, it's filled with action words like immediately and forthwith and straight away. So let's go to the Word of God this morning, shall we? Reading from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Now after John, this is John the Baptist, by the way, was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become. Notice the phrasing. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and he went after him. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word today. Let the teacher's words be only your words. Let them be spoken and taught without the slightest possibility of error. Let our words point only to King Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Folks, this is the story of Jesus Christ and his very first disciples. These disciples who were fishermen of all things. You see, every Christian should be a fisherman. But fishermen of a different nature than these guys were. You see, when we fish for fish, we take fish out of a beautiful life in the water that sustains them and into death so that they can feed us. But when we fish for men, we take men out of a terrible death and into a beautiful life with Jesus Christ through the gospel. Today's story starts with Jesus preaching the gospel in verse 14 and 15 of the kingdom of God. What is the gospel? Write in your notes. The gospel is very simple. It can be found. You should know it by heart in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first 7-8 verses. But the gospel is essentially this, that man is a sinner. And because of our sin, we've been separated from God. And that separation can only be fixed by God. He's the one that's been offended. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sent from heaven to earth in human form. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in the grave. But in 3 days, He rose again, having conquered death and the grave. And because of that, because of His sacrifice, that if we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved to the glory of God the Father. Gospel means good news. Now, what do you do with good news? Well, I tell you what you folks do. If there's a new baby or a new grandchild or a new birthday, we share the news. Amen? But the good news that we receive, which is the gospel, is not just good news. It is the greatest news that the world has ever known. And the people who share the gospel good news are called by Jesus Christ Himself in Scripture, fishers of men. You should have your notes in front of you. We have 3 points today, but I want to caution you that the third point has 4 sub-points that you'll be able to write in the margins. So when I fill in the third point, don't think, oh goody, the pastor's ahead today. We're going to get out here. Keep your Bibles open. We have a few sub-points after the third point. But if you get these 3 points today into your heart, into your mind, God will use you, Christians, to become fishers of men. And God will make you an effective soul winner. So let's look first at, in our first point today, let's look at the people that He called. The people that Jesus Christ called. Look at verses 16 and 17 once again. If you were there, please say amen. And as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon. That's Simon Peter, by the way. And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Look closely at what that passage says, friends. Question for you. What kind of people did Jesus call to share the good news? Did He call the articulate? Did He choose bank presidents, kings, lawyers, doctors, university men? No. Jesus Christ chose ordinary, common, everyday fishermen. In our encounters with Christ, Christ wants to use you in His grand plan. He's not looking to use the elevated. He is looking to use those that have trusted Him with their lives. These ordinary fishermen were Galileans, pretty much what we would call today country bumpkins. If you watch some of the old Mayberry RFD shows, who loves to still watch those? Oh, don't get all spiritual and act like you don't know. Now, the young people have no idea what I'm talking about. All right? But if you don't know a Mayberry RFD, you guys have to go watch that. These Galileans, they were country bumpkins. They were rough, untutored, uneducated, common men. Christ chose common, ordinary, everyday people. But here's something that you may not know about the disciples that Jesus Christ chose. You see, I try to give a nugget over and above the lesson each and every week when I preach. Are you guys ready for a nugget today? These men had already been rejected for service to the Lord. Already. Now you may ask, well, how is that possible? You have to understand that all Jewish children, all of the Jewish boys, would go for Bible classes until they were age of 13. And during those years, they were taught, they studied by the rabbis. And when they reached the age of 13, the ones that had a gift for the learning of the Scripture, for the teaching of the Scripture, or for writing down or transposing the Scripture by word of mouth, they went on in their studies. The others were sent home to work in the family business. They were rejected by the world. They were rejected by man for service to the Lord. Now see, the ones that went on, if they were really bright, if they were really articulate, if they could learn whole sections of Scripture, they became rabbis. But then if they could learn like whole books, if they kept what was called the law of their day, then they would become members of the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. But these fishermen, they've already been rejected for service to God. You see, we have people here in Living Hope Church that are serving that are just regular folks. The people that sing on our praise team, they're not professional singers by and large. They just want to sing and glorify God. Amen? Our greeters, our sound men, none of us do this for a living. We do this to honor our risen Savior. But these men had been rejected by God. But pardon me, by man. But they had not been rejected by God. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. If you have a paper Bible, and if you're there, please say amen. Amen. Picking it up into verse 26, if you have a New King James Bible, you will notice that it has a title heading saying, Glory Only in the Lord. Now look at what it says in verse 26 and 27. For you see your calling, it's talking about your calling, Christians. You see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things in the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. That word foolish there, now this bothered me because the Lord uses me, I think. And I know He uses Living Hope Church people. That word foolish there is actually the Greek word from which we get the word moron. I'm thinking, thanks, Paul. Paul is saying God's going to use us, and he's including himself in this, us morons, to do his word. I feel like that every week. There are times when I walk up here to preach the word of God, and I see all the faces sitting out before me, and I'm thinking, Lord, surely not me. Surely not me, Lord. But the Lord uses us. And here's the point that Paul is making in those passages. Even if you didn't make the best grades in school, even if right now you're going to school and you don't make the best grades, God can still use you. God will still use you. Look at verse 28, still here in 1 Corinthians. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are. These are the people that God has chosen for His army. Pete, nobody thinks much about you. So what? God thinks a lot about you. And God has called you into His service. And the Bible goes on in verses 29 and 30. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who came for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. When something happens at Living Hope Church that is so magnificent, that it's beyond description. And what am I talking about? When someone comes forward for salvation, a great shout goes up in heaven. But the idea that the Lord could use the smile of our greeters, possibly part of my message, the prayers of our prayer team, our praise team, and the worship, that the Lord could use us for this is a magnificent thing. So don't insult God by saying God can't use you. God's plan is to take ordinary, everyday people and do extraordinary things through them. Extraordinary things. Why? For His own glory. Amen. That's a good place for a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. Back to the book of Mark. Back to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Jesus chose fishermen. And one of these fishermen is Simon Peter, by the way. Can you think of anyone, if you've been coming to church any time at all, can you think of anyone more unlikely to be used of God than Simon Peter? Rough, uncouth, ready to fight, given to foul language, always talking when he should be listening. Matter of fact, the only time Simon Peter opened his mouth was to change feet. But God chose Simon Peter. Listen, guys. God doesn't choose men and women for who they are. Christ chose those men for what Christ could make out of them. When you encounter the risen Savior in your life, don't you ever think that you have no value. You are the most valuable thing that God ever made, and God wants to use you in His plan. So encounter this Christ. Look closely at verse 17 in Mark chapter 1. If you're there, please say amen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." What does he say? Follow me. In other words, follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Follow me, and I will. This is a determined act of God. If you follow Christ, Christ will make you, listen, become a fisherman, fisher of men. You see, God is the maker of men. God knows that this will take a while, that we are a work in process. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You're a work in process." Okay, I saw some finger pointing going on there. I didn't say all that. You are a work in process. Ms. Ruthann, I saw you looking right at me. That's quite all right. I am definitely a work in process. She's got me close. It's only taken her almost 45 years of marriage, but I'm close. I got my socks within 6 feet of the clothes hamper the other day. It was a wonderful time. Okay, he will make you become fishers of men. Listen, this reads, "I will make you to become." In other words, as unlikely as it seems, now, God used these men to turn the world upside down. They were fearless when they spoke the gospel message. How could they do that? How could they be fearless in the face of such dangerous times? Fearless in the face of death. Fearless in the face of beatings. Fearless in the face of mockery. How? They had encountered the risen Christ. They had encountered Christ and He had called them. Do you want to be used of God? Then encounter Him in your heart. Listen to the call that He has on your life. And I want you to understand that God is calling out to use you as well. You need to pray to the Father every single day and say, "Lord, here am I. Use me. Whatever you ask, Father, I will do." So first we saw the people that He called. Now we see, second, the purpose that He ordained. The purpose that He ordained. I have a few questions here. Why did Christ leave the glory of heaven? Why did He come to earth through a virgin's womb to work and live among us? Why did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walk the dusty shores of Galilee? Why did He preach and teach and heal? Why did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have to suffer and die? More importantly, why did Jesus Christ bathe this terribly sinful world with His precious blood? If you look on the screen right now, we have a passage up there, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. It's very simple. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." What was lost in the Garden of Eden with the simple biting of a piece of fruit that was forbidden. And every sin that has ever happened since then came from that one act of disobedience. Every rape, every murder, every lie, every bit of covetousness, every sin that has ever come came from that one act of disobedience. Title, ownership to earth was lost to Satan. And God, Christ has come to claim the title back. Amen? You see, the heart of Jesus Christ is a soul winner's heart. And when He called us to the sharing of the gospel, by the way, can you believe that? that Christ would use you for His work? When He has called us to the sharing of the gospel, Christ has called us to be soul winners as well. As long as we understand what we read in 1 Corinthians, that it is God that does the work. Did you know that there are a lot of things in this world that you can fail at? But there is one thing you can never fail at, ever. And that's the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's done through His power. Living Hope Church, if you are a follower of His, then His purpose will be your purpose. His will be your will. His heart will be your heart. Now, I'm about to say something here in love, and for those sitting in the sanctuary, you guys know me. You know my heart is a compassionate heart that I never seek to offend except by what Christ has said in the Scripture. For those of you watching on the internet or on a recording later, there is no offense meant to be given here, but listen closely to what I'm going to say right now. Any person that says that they are a follower of Jesus Christ and is not taking the opportunities God has given to them to be a fisher of men is living a lie. You're not fulfilling the purpose for which God created you. You see, if we're not fishing, we're not following. And God, Christ has called all of us to be fishers of men. We have been given one job. I started on today's passage because it was very simple to look to your left in your Bible. At the end, here's something, I'm going to give you another theological nugget. Mark chapter 1, the first chapter of Mark, follows the last chapter of the book before it, the book of Matthew. Isn't that amazing? I gave you something good today, didn't I? Well, in that last chapter of the book right before, look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. You want to know what we've been called to do? The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Reading from the Word of God. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages." Listen, we don't do the saving. We have one command. We've been told to go and share. When you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you share your faith, you have a victory in Christ. You have victory in your life because you have succeeded in what you were called to do. Once they have the information, it's up to the Holy Spirit and their heart on whether or not they accept. Amen? That sounded like a pretty weak amen. Say amen?
Yeah.
All right, there, now we go. Now we're awake. So listen, folks. Jesus said, it's not about anyone else. He said, to follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. That's the second point. It is the purpose that He ordained. Now we saw not only the people that He called, not only the purpose that He ordained, we see the promise that He gave us. The promise that He gave us. What is the promise again? This is so good. This gives me chills when you really think about it. When you unpack what this word says here. Follow me, and I, the King of Glory. Follow me, and I, the Sovereign Savior. I, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I, the Balm of Gilead and the Son of Man. I, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. I will make you to become fishers of men. You understand the kind of power you have behind you. The power of the Son of God in heaven. Meaning that you won't become a fisherman overnight. First, you have to learn how to fish. I will make you to become fisher of men. All right, dads out there, have you ever taken your sons fishing? If you have, say amen. If you haven't, shame on you. You can't just turn them loose, can you? Listen, I remember when Travis, my son, was barely 4 years old. And I was going out, he was a little fella, cute as a button. And I was going out to fish in a lake close to where we lived. And he said, "Daddy, can I go?" I said, "Yes, you can." His mama said, "Keep an eye on him. She knows our son." So I was fishing with topwater lure, great big lure with 9 hooks on it. I throw it out and pull it across the top of the water, hoping a big bass will hit it. And so my son, I had 2 of them. And so I had one of them on my belt, and my son says, Daddy, can I hold the other one? I'll be careful. I'll be real careful, Daddy. I'll be careful. I will. I promise. I'll be careful. I said, no, you're gonna get snagged up in it, and I'm going to get in trouble with your mom. He goes, no, Dad, I promise. I promise. I'll be careful. I'll hold it just like this, Daddy, just like this. Now, he's this tall. He's got this brown hair and these big brown eyes. He goes, please, Daddy, please. I'm like, okay, hold it just like this. So he takes it, and he holds it just like this. I looked at him, you got it? I got it. Just like that. Just like this, Daddy. I turned, I made one cast, and I looked. He had his pants hooked to his shirt. And he was about to fall forward. So I had to take him on the side and teach him how to use that hook and teach him how to cast. And his mama laughed when we got home. So I wasn't in too much trouble. But you, Christ, as you teach your son to be a fisher of fish, Christ teaches us how to become fishers of men. All that you need to do is you need to submit yourself to Jesus Christ. Then he will make you to become. You see, it's a process. It doesn't just happen. Let's look at an example of what he can do. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to spend some time here in the rest of our time here. Luke chapter 5. Verse 1 through 10. If you're there, say amen. Oh, I love the Word of God. I love hearing those pages turn. I even like hearing you digital folks tap on the screen of your phones there. So, look at verses 1 through 3 here. Four fishermen called to be disciples. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the Word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, this is again Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Picture this, Christ has gathered a crowd, they've come to hear him preach, they've come to see the miracles, and the people are so close to him that Christ has got in a boat, he sat down off from the shore, and he's preaching. Now look what happens now in the next four verses 4 through 9. When he had stopped speaking, that means the sermon was over, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boat so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. It is obvious that Jesus performed this miracle to teach them a lesson about fishing for men. Look at the second part of verse 9 again. They were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Don't be astonished at what God can do through you. Don't be astonished. Don't be amazed when you share the gospel and someone says yes. Don't be astonished that God could even use you. Don't be astonished at what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. Amen? But apparently up to now, the disciples had been hedging their bets. But look how many fish they caught. How much? So much so that the boat was almost sinking. And what do they do then? Picture this, if you're a modern fisherman and you have the keys in the boat, and this guy just told you how to fish like that, you take the keys of the boat and you toss them to somebody else, say, I'm following him. Because what I'm doing in my own power is not working. But there's four simple steps that they were taught. First, he saw in that passage, Jesus told them, launch out into the deep. You have to launch out into the deep. In verse 4, Jesus told them to launch into the deep, which is why most of us fail. Because we never launch the boat. We never launch the boat of sharing the gospel. Now, I know Peter got in all kind of trouble all the time in Scripture. You know, people say, some people say, well, Peter walked on the water. And other people say, well, he lost faith and he started to fall. That's true. May I remind you that there were 11 other people that stayed in the boat. And Peter stepped out in faith. But we never launched a boat. Sometimes we never even get started. How is that? Well, let me ask you this. Let me get personal. Let me start meddling in your lives a little bit today as we're getting ready to wrap this up. What are you going to do with what you received here today? I'm going to say that again. What will you do with what you received here today? You're being very polite. I love you guys. You guys are always polite. You always stay awake. That's a plus when for a preacher. Every once in a while, I'll see one of you nod, and when that happens, I go preach to the other side so I don't disturb you. You know that's not true. I walk to your side and I talk louder. But you're being very polite. You're being very attentive. I can see that you're taking your notes. I can see you're marking in your Bibles. I can see you're writing in your journals, for those of you that are writing your journal, or extra notes in the margins of your notebook. But listen to me. If you take all of that, and when you leave here today, you don't launch out into the deep with what you've been shown here today, what difference does it make? What difference, young people, if you go to church or go to school and never share your faith? What difference, Christians, if you go to work and never take advantage of those opportunities God puts right in front of you to share your faith? What difference? Listen, make up your mind to launch out and trust Jesus Christ. Share the gospel, let God do the work. We are called, friends, listen to me, we are called to be fishers of men. We are not called to be the keepers of the aquarium. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, just say to yourself, by the grace of God and trusting in the Lord Jesus, I will launch out. So launch out. Second, depend on Jesus Christ. Depend upon Jesus Christ. In verse 5 of where we're at, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. What I want you to do, if you're one of those people that underline in your Bibles, I want you to underline three words there. Underline after the word Master, underline the word we, and then underline caught nothing. If you remember that in your gospel sharing, everything's going to be all right, because we don't catch anything. We share the gospel. The Holy Spirit does the catching. He's the ultimate fisherman. Amen? Listen, these guys had fished all night and caught nothing. Now listen, it's not that they were lazy. These were hard-working men. This was their business. Peter and the rest of the boys had worked out all night long fishing and caught nothing. Miss Ruth Ann would have left in the first 15 minutes. She does not like fishing. She likes catching. If you throw the line out and it comes back without a fish, it's time to go home. But what made the difference with these guys? In the second half of verse B, it says, at your word. The second half of verse 5. At your word. Jesus, we're getting you involved in this. See, when you do your fishing, get Christ involved. At your word, this can happen. Friends, soul winning is not all about you going out and doing something for Jesus Christ. Soul winning is about Jesus doing something through you because you went out. Guys, I bring nothing to the table when I preach. I know that I have zero power. I have zero authority. I have zero influence over anyone here today. But at His Word, which I am commanded to speak, I know that Living Hope Church's people can do supernatural things. I know that. It is at His Word, and it's through His power that all things are possible. This is amazing grace, as we saw today. So launch out. Depend upon Jesus. Third, lay down the net. Let down the net. What net? Simple. The gospel net. We're called to share the gospel. Don't try to impress anyone with your theological knowledge. They don't care. They're looking for a way to make their hearts feel better. Theological knowledge is a wonderful thing. Bible understanding is a magnificent thing. But we're here to save souls, to get them to heaven. No one is saved by my life. People are saved by Christ's death. A fisherman doesn't catch fish because he influences the fish with how good he looks at the boat holding his net. No one gets saved because how wonderful I look standing up here with my Bible. You notice that light right up there, which we've got to do something with, makes my head look like I got a halo on it. Let me step forward a little bit. See that? That gray hair just is spectacular, isn't it? Nobody influence a fish by how great he looks in the boat holding his net. The fish is influenced into the net because the fisherman threw the net. Amen?
Amen.
For the fisherman, it's not complicated. He lets down the net and he catches the fish. For the soul winner, it's not complicated. We share the gospel and Christ saves the souls. Finally and fourth, don't be discouraged if you've tried and failed. The victory is not through us. The victory is through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Look one last time at verse 6 in Luke chapter 5. If you're there, please say amen. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. These men had worked all night long and had taken nothing. Nada. Nine. Nish. Zero. They caught nothing. Then at His word, they listened. They trusted. They obeyed. They cast out their net. And now they have so many fish in the net that they need people to help. Living Hope Church, be faithful. Be faithful. Cast out your net. Launch out into the deep. And do it in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Share the gospel, and at His word, we will have so many fish, we will need people to help. We'll have to put out more chairs. We'll need a new boat to fish from. Amen? Why? Because we encountered the call of Christ, and He, in His power, and for His glory, has made us to become fishers of men. I finish the message as I do every week, saying, grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people like that, but they wonder about the peace that I am talking about. Let me just share this quickly with you. I want peace in my life. But I cannot have peace with men unless I have peace within. And I cannot have peace within unless I have peace with Him. And all God's people said,
amen.
We know that God answers prayer in three ways, friends. Yes, no, and wait. Yes, no, and wait. But there is a prayer for those of you sitting here in the sanctuary today that may not have asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. There's a prayer for those of you watching on the internet or on a DVD remotely. You've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. There is a prayer for those people that I can guarantee you will always get a yes answer from our Heavenly Father. God will always say yes to this prayer. God, I believe in my heart You raised Christ from the dead. Father, I confess my sins. Father, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord. So Lord, here is my prayer. Will You please save me? That is a prayer that God will say yes to every single time. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.